There's another standby light, and the light is green. Hello, folks. My name is Walt, and when I'm not impersonating Mike Lafferty, I'm a part-time host of the BAM podcast, along with frequent co-host, educator extraordinaire, and a lover of comics, Jason Tondreau. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks. It's good to be here.
Today we have luminaries in the comics industry. Longtime guest and fun fan favorite. A little alliteration there for the writer on the podcast. But we have Sean Isaacs. How are you, sir?
Good, man. Good. I'm awake and rearing to go, man.
It's a lie.
Even though it's just after 1 o'clock in the morning, it's like this has been I hit my like second wind.
Oh my gosh. Who does this to these artists? It's terrible.
You do.
And that would be our other guest, Mr. Jim Zub. How are you, sir?
I'm good. From what I've been told, I was on this podcast like 6 years ago.
It's true.
That's wild.
It's true. And we've been chasing you to get back on ever since. Although, you know, with stardom and all of the glitz and glamour, I'm sure, is sparkling in your eyes. You probably just missed these small Twitter notices. It's fine.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Comic book stardom. Let me tell you about that.
Actually, I'm interested. Tell me about comic book stardom.
I'll let you know if I ever see it.
Excellent.
Jim Lee is a very nice person. How's that? That's good. Jim's good people. There's comic book stardom for
you. That's comic book stardom for you, right? I remember when Image was breaking away, when those people were first breaking away from Marvel, you know, and they were doing like jeans commercials and stuff.
Right.
And it was just amazing to me to think, holy crap. I mean, comic book personalities have finally hit mainstream, you know, but
I think what's weird now is comic book culture is mainstream culture and entertainment, you know, comic book based entertainment is absolutely rocketing to the top of mainstream culture. Yes. But comic book creators are still, for the most part, you know, except for Stan Lee and a few other people,
we're
pretty off the grid. Although it's weird though, because you get, you know, when you work on one of these titles that people recognize now, there's an assumption of, I don't know if fame's the right word for it, but like fame, I guess, or like they assume, you know, that you get some part of movie, whatever.
Yes.
Which is just, of course, not the case, right?
Yeah. I'm curious about that a little bit, if you don't mind me talking about it a little bit. What are the sales on your book?
Like Avengers?
Sure.
I mean, the funny part is I don't know yet because my first issue came out a month ago, so we won't get the sales numbers until later.
Okay.
So I don't even want to hazard a guess. It's a pretty big event thing they're doing right now with the Avengers. It's running weekly from the start of January through to the end of April. So we've got 16 issues in 16 weeks as part of this storyline called No Surrender.
Yeah.
Well, this is why Sean is not sleeping.
That's right. Well, what happened was Sean heroically jumped into the four because we had three art teams put together. We've got Pepe Larraz, Paco Medina, and Kim Jacinto. And Kim had a health problem, and so we needed to get another artist in there just to make sure the book was going to be on time. And Sean heroically threw himself in front of that train and managed to stop it before it careened into disaster.
He makes it sound way cooler than it actually is.
Well, that issue was very cool. You drew the heck out of it.
It was really awesome, and I mean, like it has a lot of highlights. I was like, you draw like a bunch of issues, like a full issue, and about 40 to 50% of the book, most art, like I don't know if most artists like this, but you end up hating like 40% of what you've drawn. Because you're like, oh, this page is great, except for those two panels that you just feel look crap. but with this book, it was down to maybe like 15% that I was like, I could have done better if I had more time.
But I think they should put that on the cover. That would be really good. This issue, only 15% crap, according to the artist.
Yeah. I suspect that for artists, that's actually a really great number. I mean, I think most artists are probably really critical of their own work.
Hey, man, absolutely.
I got to draw Hawkeye in his classic costume. Like, I'm not going to complain at all.
Yeah. Yeah, right. But the reason why I ask about sales is, and just, I mean, pick another book that you've been doing recently. I mean, I'm just
Sure. So I think Uncanny Avengers sells somewhere around, you know, 40,000-50,000 copies.
Right. Okay. Okay. So there's a good example.
Oh my God, I love Uncanny Avengers.
Thank you. I love that book as well. Yes, absolutely. And we live in a country of 350 million people.
Right.
Right. And so, and please don't get me wrong. I mean, I wrote a dissertation about superhero comic books. Like, I am like, so I'm not here to undercut our form or anything, but we're really, and as far as the people that read comic books, we're really a tiny niche culture.
Right.
There's these amazing films that make $1 billion a piece. Mm-hmm. And like you say, they had this huge imprint footprint on culture, but the number of people that actually pick up the comic books is so tiny. And I wonder what you guys think about that. Like, is it a good thing? Does it empower you?
Is it a good thing that more people aren't buying comics?
Well, no, I mean, I don't know. I'm just curious. How do you feel about that? Like the fact that you work in a business which has such a tiny, tiny physical buy-in, and yet which has this huge cultural impact.
It's obviously strange. What's sort of amazing is that, you know, there are, the audience for comic books seems quite insatiable when people have access, and when they open it up to more and more channels, whether that's digital, whether that's, you know, foreign reprints and things like that. So I think that there's an audience there, but it's also about trying to convince an audience that this is, as a medium, is something that they should be tapping into for the source material, or really making it part and parcel of their fandom, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, one of the common perceptions about comics these days is that your books, and I'm sure you don't believe this, you're trying to make your own stories and do your own thing, but there's a point of view that superhero comics these days, especially a book like The Avengers, is kind of an R&D platform for future media spin-offs.
There's some people that believe that. Absolutely.
What do you think about that? Is that?
Well, I mean, it sounds a little weird because I'm actually doing it, right? So I don't talk to the movie people, if that's what you're wondering. They don't tell us what to write.
So you don't get to go up to the craft services table and like grab a sandwich?
No, I have never met any of the actors. I don't get invited onto the set. Like, that's not how that works.
I didn't think that was true. All I meant was, is do you see yourself as doing that? Like, you see yourself as trying to make a story that could possibly be in a movie one day?
Or I don't think that's the way to make good comics. Like, I see people do this all the time with indie books, where what they're really trying to do is they're trying to make a movie pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
And it becomes so transparently, this is a weak movie pitch. You know, rather than this is a strong comic book. And so to me, it's like, if there's media interest in something, that's a bonus rather than the end goal, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
So getting into end goals and using the patented Banff blunt force segue, first let me welcome Brendan Conway to the show, who made it through the technical issues with a tactical nuclear browser.
Awesome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Welcome, Brendan.
And Brendan has done amazing work with the Masks role-playing game that deals with a lot of teen superheroes, like you see in properties like Young Justice and Champions. But let's dive into Champions. I think one of the fun things that that Wade did when the title started was I think he really developed a platform for giving representation to that segment of the population that really could make a real huge splash in comics, and that's that 16 to 20 year old market. Because I mean, yeah, you got Harry Potter and he grew up to, you know, be whatever he's going to become now, but in comics, you look at most of the characters that are out there. You got people like Captain America, Hawkeye, even super popular like Batman, Superman. These people are portrayed in their mid to late 30s when you look at them. And there really was no huge heroes for the for that 16 to 20 year old set to latch onto. And I think the ending page of the first issue of Champions was really telling, because it had social media playing such a big part in what the heroes were doing, and then showing that there was an audience for this going forward. Now, you guys are picking up, is it issue 21 somewhere?
19. Issue 19. So yeah, the April issue.
So
Sean is already underway drawing it.
Yeah. So where does where do we see this?
I can't show anything. Sorry, guys.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sean. What was that?
I said it's. I'm busy working on it at the moment, but I can't show you guys anything. Sorry.
It's all right. I'm sure we'll sign an NDA later. The camera's off. Go ahead, Sean. Show away. where do we see the story picking up now? We start getting some killer designs that hit Twitter the other night that we saw Sean putting up. Can you talk about where the story is going from here?
Sure. So, Mark and Umberto have done a wonderful job on the series, and the first 18 issues are really kind of their summation of the idea of what, you know, the young generation of heroes at Marvel, the, you know, how they see the world and how they want to not just be superheroes or be like their parents' superheroes, but really try and change the world in a way that's meaningful to them, that they're the people who are going to inherit this world and that they have a voice in it. And, you know, people like Kamala Khan or Miles Morales, that they are heroes of this generation and that their voice is something, you know, a little bit different than their parents, in the sense that they are a little more kind of socially aware or politically aware than people were when they were teenagers before. And so we want to try and show some of that kind of activist voice while also tapping into universal kind of teenage experiences, that you've got kids nowadays who are on social media, who are aware and being bombarded with politics and technology, but they're still also teenagers going through all those foibles of growing up and falling in love and figuring out who you want to be when you grow up. And I feel like that is, you know, something universal that we can try and tap into. So it's this idea of, okay, the bigger, broader world and trying to think globally, but that doesn't change that it's still a story about characters and it's a story about kind of the universal coming of age sort of experience. And that's kind of the way where I'm coming at it, trying to take some of my favorite bits of kind of teenage comics that I grew up with, whether that's like New Mutants or Generation X or Young Justice or things like that, while also trying to speak specifically to this time and this generation and what the kinds of struggles that they have to think about, whether that's environmental change or the way that technology is invading our lives or, you know, kind of political overreach, all this kinds of stuff.
You know, it's got a lot of the stuff that I mean, like my favorite comics growing up was like, Teen Titans and New Warriors and like those kind of things, seeing those character relationships really kind of, solidified my interest in comics because I could relate to those characters at that time. You know, you kind of grew up with them.
And you were talking earlier about how you had to change your art style a little bit on this, because in Avengers, the titles that you're working on now, you were saying that the drawings are very technical. Can you talk a little bit about how the art process evolves into something like this to be more relatable to a different audience?
I don't know how relatable it is, but like one of my favorite artists is Stuart Immonen. And if you look at his work, like every single book that he works on, he changes his style, like no matter what it is. Even if you compare when he worked on Ultimate Spider-Man to current Spider-Man, there's like a vast difference. And then Next Wave was also very, very different. And so like I like to change it depending on what I'm working on, just because so that I don't get bored creatively. I don't want to get into that rut.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, I kind of look at, so like No Surrender, I kind of, like the guys working on that are just like so ridiculously good. So I kind of wanted to make my style very similar, so that when you get like the trade, it's not super jarring where you see it completely different. But now for Champions, I'm kind of doing less rendering, you know, I'm not over rendering and not, you know, cross hatching everything and stuff like that, because I want it to be a cleaner, more like pure kind of look. So like the character designs that I posted the other day are very, very much similar to what I want to use. So it's like more economy of lines, and so that they can be brighter, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Well, and so, I think what's interesting is going to be seeing how, you know, you're just getting into it now. So it's going to take a little bit of time to sort of get a feel for where you, you know, where you see the characters or how they're going to grow more comfortable with your style. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude, like this page today, like I got up and I couldn't, because I wanted to try something different. It's trying to almost, for me, it's trying to rewire my brain a little bit. So like it literally took me, I woke up at like 9 and I think I struggled just drawing this page until I ended up having to like have a recharge nap, because I couldn't. I was struggling with it. I wanted to smash something. I'm like, I even tweeted about it earlier. I said like, I'm at that stage where I forgot how to draw now, because you want to try something different, but you're not used to it, and you start defaulting to the way you normally draw.
Sure, so and you're a new project's always going to be stressful that way, trying to find the right fit.
Yeah, exactly. So I was just getting very frustrated. So eventually I was like, screw this, I'm making dinner and then I'm having a nap. And then after that nap, I got up and I just automatically started drawing. It was like almost like a rewiring that happened. But yeah, it'll take me like a page, or it could take me like up to like 2-3 issues to really get comfortable with characters and figure out like, oh, this is how I draw them, this is how I draw this one. But strangely, most of my projects, it's like as I start getting used to the characters, it's finished.
You know? Right.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully that's not going to be the case here. I want to hunker down for a solid run.
Yeah, I'm very, like, everybody seems super excited about these characters. I love the fact that, like, Champions is, like, the most diverse team at Marvel at the moment. You know, and I think it resonates a lot with people. I had a really cool Twitter conversation the other day where I drew –